Blog Talk Radio. with the name of God. God is most gracious and God is most merciful. God is the master of the day of judgment, which we are least. We're going to open this talk up tonight with a prayer call that Fire Time means to open. And all Muslim open up to prayers with this prayer here that God has given us. Call our Fatiha. Humilay Shaitan Radeen, Bismillah Rahman Rahim. Bismillah Rahman Rahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin. Iyyaka Na'budu wa Iyyaka Nasta'in. Ihdinas Sirat al-Mustaqim. Sirat al-Ladina Anta Walayhim. Glory may do be alayhim. Walidorim. I mean God from Allah, from the rejected enemy Satan, with the name of God. God is most gracious and God is most merciful. God is the master of the day of judgment in which we all live. He alone do we worship and die aid. We seek God, please always continue to show us this great way, the way of those whom thou hast bestowed our favor, who wrath is brought down and all those who go astray. I mean, thank you. I'll turn this over to my wife. Now you're out by herself.
As-salamu alaykum. Welcome to the Message of Concern. This is your co-host tonight, Zadaya Akbar from Decatur, Georgia. We also have Sister Ron Muhammad from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. If she is not too busy and may be able to come in, excuse me, and any of the other brothers, my husband, Brother Abdullah Akbar, from Decatur, Georgia, Brother Sujah Muhammad from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and Imam Ibrahim Abdullah from, from Atlanta. Well, he's the Imam, inshallah, of LaGrange, Georgia. He lives here in Atlanta, and he assists us every night if he is available. But welcome, and the sisters tonight handle, and the brothers as well. We do focus on the psychological effect that the image has on the minds of the world's children, because as we know, our children have been not intentionally, maybe, led in the wrong direction or taught wrong as far as the image or as far as God, the Creator. But we Muslims are here to try and get them back on course and tell them the truth about the whole thing, about their ancestries of the past, and excuse me, my throat is acting up, and about the current events of today and things that are concerning the children and some adults. But inshallah, we pray Allah that we can give them something and teach them something that will go on with them through their lives, so they won't be misled any longer, and they won't be misled like we were. I wanted to start off, and I apologize for it, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. I bear witness that there's no God, no creator but Allah, only Allah. And I bear witness that Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, is the seal of the prophets. And we know that the creator also is the creator of heavens and earth and all in between, as well as the creator of all systems of knowledge known and unknown, seen and unseen. So we are asking you to please join us in our discussions tonight of current events, whatever you may feel that you may want to push one on your phone receiver, and we'll bring you into the queue, and you can speak on your interests of current events, and please include the children, because this is their time tonight, and the psychological effect that the image has on the minds of the world's children. And we will be doing some reading from the Muslim Journal, as well as Brother Henry Saifullah's book. So those are like, which is like I call it my mascot. Excuse me. My throat is really acting up. Excuse me. And Brother Henry Saifullah's book, the title is What Every Parent Should Know About the Worship of Human Imagery in Religion and Their Child's Mental Health, by Henry S. Muhammad. And since this is the main title, which is a message of concern, we'd like to go in the back of Brother Henry's book to the King James Version as well of the Bible, as well as quotes from the Quran. Excuse me. So, and that's what I'll do first. We're on the message of concern, and we do like to emphasize that by reading and quoting from the Holy Bible, King James Version, and we would like to point out to you about the graven image. In two chapters that we are concerned about, that I'm concerned about, to put it that way, and I would like for you to focus on it as I read it, read these two. The first one is Exodus chapter 20, verse 4, and it reads, Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Okay, and then next we want to go to Deuteronomy, and it reads, Deuteronomy chapter 5, ayat 8, and it says, listen to the wording, Thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Now, I don't know about you, but from my reading and my trying to pick something that's going to be, that may be different from these two chapters and verses, and I can't find. They seem to have the exact words. I don't even see where they've been arranged in the reading any different, but maybe one word is something like that scattered. But they read the same. I said that to say that even in the Bible, for those who read the Bible for their a guide, it speaks on the graven image. So why does it seem to be so difficult for us to try and understand what we're trying to get, the message we're trying to get over to you about the graven image that portrays divine? Number one, the message of concern covers and focuses on the removal of all images from worship that portray divine. That's number one. And the psychological effect that it has on the mind of the world's children. That's the second focus. We've read you two of the chapters and verses in the Bible, King James Version. Now we'd like to read to you. I'm only going to read one, and this is going to be short, from the Holy Quran. It's going to be Surah 112, or chapter 112, you know, you say in your Bible, and the title, El Ikhlas. That's the surah, Al-Ikhlas, the purity of worship. It's only four verses or four ayats, which are very short. And it reads, I quote, with the name of Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Say he is Allah, the one and only. Allah, the eternal absolute. He begets not, nor is he begotten, and there is none like unto him. Now, to me, this says it all in a nutshell right there about no graven images. You know, so that covers that. If anyone would like to start it off, it's okay with me. Our conversation tonight, or our more on our focus with our children and what's new in the readings about our children. I do have some that was sent to me, I say by a reliable source, because they heard it and read about it, and they sent it right on over to me, and I do appreciate that. But I want to first recognize the visitors or the guests or the speakers that I have accompanying me tonight, who I do appreciate, and let them know that anytime they want to focus on something in particular, they want us to know in reference to the children and current events and the images, in whichever way they want to put it, you know, it's pertaining to the message of concern. So push one on your phone receiver, and you'll be brought into the queue, and you'll be, that's an indication that you want to speak, and we'll let you speak on your topic, whatever it is that you would like to speak on that you feel is pertaining to the children and the message of concern and the removal of all images that portray divine and the psychological effect that that image has on the minds of the world's children. As we already know, we're tired of our children being not told the truth, and the only way we feel that we can do that is to teach our children ourselves. And we, you know, have to get new facilities up. Okay, that's all well and good. And we pray Allah bless us with whatever we have to do to make those changes or help us to bring those changes about so that our children can have the facilities to learn in and the proper teachers to teach them the truth. Okay. So you can go on, carry on. Anybody wants to speak first, don't everybody speak at one time, but we like participation. Don't everybody speak at one time, but we do like participation because we want to know that everybody, if we're on the same page, we just need to know that. Okay. One thing we are noticing is that the young people, excuse me, I don't know if it's the weather changing, but my throat is kind of a little scratchy. Pray Allah, inshallah, that too shall pass and it'll be all right. And in the Muslim Journal this week, this week's edition, September 12th, 2021, they have a column here that says the need for young Muslims to come together. And they're talking about some good stuff. So I would like to even read that to you to start my conversation off. And I know I did mention something, too, that had been sent to me by someone in reference to our children and us, period, you know, as a race. But I want to start this first. Most important to me. Okay, it says, the need for young Muslims to come together. By Jada Ahmed, Atlanta, Georgia. We consistently hear in the Muslim community, where is the youth? Or why aren't the youth in the masjid? There are many factors, but I see that young Muslims struggle to find their Islamic identity because we lack many institutions and systems that help maintain and support our Islamic identity. We are constantly struggling to pull our young Muslims within the community. Still, we don't realize that the environment we live in is a makeup of Western European culture, shaping our young Muslims and future generations. Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, said, "Everyone is born Muslim, and it is his environment and parents that make him otherwise. It's time to preserve our own Islamic culture and build that culture that Allah wants us to build in the Quran, with the masjid being a sacred place or a space of worship. I realize that some social needs can't be met within the masjid for young adults. So this is the question I ask to myself. What is the solution to bringing the youth back to the Muslim community? As a 22-year-old with a strong passion for Islamic community life and an active community leader in Atlanta Masjid of El Islam Community, and a recent graduate with a bachelor's degree in psychology and human services. I first thought about how I could get the young adults to come back to the Muslim community. I started to see that there is a need for young Muslims to come together, talk, and build social relationships first, because we are disconnected from each other. There's not enough connectivity with a brother and sister of El Islam happening. So instead of reinventing the wheel, I decided to reach out to an organization called the Muslim Mix, founded by two Muslima sisters in Atlanta, set out to create a movement that would inspire and encourage young adult Muslims to come back to the Muslim community. Alhamdulillah. The Muslim Mix group, the Muslim Mix's goal is connecting through events and programs that focus on the needs of 20 to 40-year-olds. I decided to take the lead and work with this organization because it aligned with the mission I'm trying to accomplish with young adult Muslims. With the support and investment from the community, I have hosted two successful Muslim young adult events in Atlanta. The first event was called Young Adult Community Talks and Game Night. The second event was Muslim Mix Young Adult Bowling Night. Within these two events, I noticed that there is a common bond as Muslims that we share. Since we have been in this pandemic, many young Muslims yearn for community life and unity. It brought joy to my soul to see young Muslims coming together to establish Islamic community life. The love in sister and brotherhood that was shown proved that when we surround ourselves with other Muslims, we develop that strong sense of Islamic identity and purpose of establishing Islamic community life. When you create a space where we can cultivate each other, we start to grow together. Community life is vital, and it is our responsibility to establish that together, not by ourselves. We are social human beings who interact to establish community life, not just for ourselves, but for future generations to come and humanity. The Prophet, peace and blessings upon him, said, "A believer to another believer is like a building whose different parts support each other." The Prophet then clasped his hands with the fingers interlaced while saying that in Bukhari Hadith. He also said, "The believers in their mutual kindness, compassion, and sympathy are just like one body. When one of the limbs suffers, the whole body responds to it with wakefulness and fever. That's in Bukhari and Muslim Hadiths. Therefore, it's important that young Muslims come together, foster healthy relationships, and encourage a moral responsibility toward each other. We must continue creating spaces and systems that maintain and support our Islamic values and collectively carry out our responsibility. Allah addresses us as an ummah, a community. You are the best community brought forth for the good of mankind, promoting what is right, forbidding what is wrong, and believing in Allah. Quran, Surah 3, Ayat 110. As Muslims, we are committed to community life. We should live our lives in a community following Allah's guidance of the Quran and Sunnah. And this was wrote by Sister Jada. And she can be contacted at, here's her email address, all lowercase letters. And it's ahmadjayda@gmail.com. That's ahmadjayda@gmail.com or 513-888-8533. And that's Sister Jada. And that's a very good article to hear around this time for me. I really welcome this. And I want to also add on to that, the event that was held last Saturday night, it was the like the reunion of the alumni from Sister Clara Muhammad Schools. And if you had been there, you would have enjoyed them and their learnings and lessons they've learned and experiences they've gone through since they left Sister Clara Muhammad Schools and went into a career or venture of their own. And I must say, and I'm grateful to Allah for blessing them to have bright futures and brilliant, brilliant ideas and businesses. And they're working them together, and I can really appreciate that. It does my heart good to be able to hear this about our youth. They do say from 20 to 40. This party grabbed me a little bit. I said, 20 to 40. You know, I said, now, what about the little ones up under there? These teenagers, the one we got grabbed by the leg, drag them in. But alhamdulillah, ways are being made for them as well. Yeah, they have not been left out. Ways are being made for them. Yes, because once we can get BUII started, inshallah, and we pray Allah, you know, and we say inshallah. Now we're at the point of saying mashallah, because we know that Allah is with us on this. We know Allah is with us on this because it's very much needed and it's slow by coming, and it looks like we may even have some stones being laid for our pavement, you know, and for our path, but it's not stopping us. You know, it's not stopping us. And I use this saying they used to say when I was growing up, good things come to those who wait. But then later on they added on to it too, but not to those who wait too late. But anyway, we are in for the long haul here, and we pray Allah bless us all with strength and bless us all with longevity to be able to see this. And when Allah calls us, we can rest. We can rest in peace to know that we took a part in seeing to this. Allah blessed us, you know, to take a part to see this come into fruition, because it's very much needed. And it's coming. It's coming. Slowly but surely. We just can't give up. Okay, then. I want to ask if anybody else now has anything that they would like to say. Another thing I want to mention, too, I'm waiting for somebody to push their one. Okay, I see someone. I want to say this too. Hold on a minute, Brother Ma'am. You know, last week when the children were dancing, you know, they have that little thing after the presentations and the awards and all this. And being there, they were alumni. And they're still fairly young, even though some of them are married and business and all like that. They're still young at heart because you can tell when they get together, they have so much fun. And they dance, but they don't even worry about doing the latest dances. They just be dancing and laughing. And we used to say, and clowning. But they just be having fun, be having a good time. They don't worry about the latest dances and all that kind of stuff. You know, so, and there was no alcohol there, so you can't say that they were acting behind any alcohol or anything, but they were really just acting up. They were doing every kind of dance, every kind of laughing and joking and playing. Yes, there's still young people at heart, still fresh out of Clara Muhammad, coming back to help and to give. They mentioned that, and if they do still concentrate on being good Muslims and talking about Allah and thanking Allah and those who helped them to get to where they are now and who had patience with them on their way up. I have to mention that now. I'm glad I remember that. Yes. Okay, now, Brother Imam, we're going to bring you in, and I'm glad that you have something to say, and I know you do about that. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Imam Ibrahim.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah. Yeah.
You
well,
got
thank
it.
You very much for letting me, have a few words. Praise be to Allah. I only by witness testify nothing is deserved of worship except Allah alone, who have no associates. And this is, we are commanded to say, whether people like it or not, he have no partners. This creation that he created is here to rule by himself. And when do people get off thinking that he need help to rule his creation when he created what you even thought about? And I would have been able to testify that that information, what I just got through saying, is in the final revelation, which is called Quran, that came through from Muhammad, may the peace and blessings be upon him, who stood the test of time with the information that Allah gave him. So I'm going to go right into what I really want to say. We're talking about our children. Number one, this is why it is good for us to communicate with our children without thinking what had happened in the past, and especially during the transition we came over from the Nation of Islam and the following Imam Muhammad into Al-Islam, the religion, is that many of us tried to force the religion on our children. And then forcing the religion of Al-Islam on our children, it made them rebel. It made them reject the religion by so much force coming from us. What I'm saying is, instead of us being an example of the religion, we were being like polices in one sense, by forcing. Now, a brother kind of wanted to challenge me on that, you know, because it's our children, we do. I said, no. I hear what you're saying, and this is what we got to get to. We got to learn the Quran, and we got to say what Allah and His Messenger said. So when he said that, I said, okay, I understand what you're saying. But if you're doing that, forcing them, see, we don't push them away, and you don't know how far you have pushed them away. You remember when you pushed them away, it was other things that they gravitated to. I said, so now, that's where you are. I ain't going to want to hold it. What do Allah say in the Quran? What do you mean? What do Allah say in the Quran by force? Well, I don't know what you're talking about. Allah say, "La ikraha fid din." There's no compulsion in the religion. So we went against Quran because our children trying to force them to accept Allah and this religion. When Allah told you, there's no compulsion. You don't rule their life. Allah rules their life, and that's what you should have been putting in them. You should have put the fear of Allah in them instead of the fear of you. And many of us use that old force thing instead of making the force Allah and not you. Okay, now, like Sister Daya was saying, so how do we get our children back? How? That's the question. Since they're so far out there, let me give you an example of what China or Japan is doing. They had came up with a plan because of their children. Listen, now, they're doing it for their children. Well, we should have been doing it, but I think we're in the more stronger hold of the devil's society than China and Japan and other countries are. They had refused to allow homosexuals in the movies in their country. They said no. Now, I was watching a movie the other night, one called This Guy, and they got these two little young sisters. Now, they got a feeling for each other, and now they touch one another, and then they kiss one at one time. So after that, every time they get together, now they want to kiss. Two females. Well, why did China or Japan, why did they wipe that out of their society? Because they knew what it was going to do to their children. They knew that that kind of image of weakness. See, a human being always clones their weakness before they clone the strength. So they knew that this weak idea or concept will creep into the society of their children's minds. So they don't want. So where that come from? That came from that image. We read it in the Bible to the people. Romans chapter 1. From chapter 1, from verse 22, but you can read the whole chapter. And right then that chapter was explained by the people going against God and accepting imagery from the immoral to from Allah to man or created things that they want to worship besides the Creator. Allah allowed them to go, and this is the kind of stuff that creeps into their mind, the homosexuality trend and all that. So they, in their country, they realize that. So we don't only have a problem with our children leaving religion. The biggest problem, not so much leaving religion, because inshallah, with the right teachings and approach, we can bring them back to the religion. But what has happened is that they done gotten a part of society, moving into society now. They see things that they weren't used to seeing, hear things that they weren't used to hearing, and they're becoming weak in the right idea to stand. And they lean in so far towards the left, towards society. And another thing, a brother gave Cuba, I finally made this mention, which we've all been saying. And another part with that, what I'm saying is this. He said, and it was good, a young brother, he said, our biggest problem today, it wasn't like when we came through the Nation of Islam. He said they had brothers and sisters that was knowledgeable, and the young brothers and sisters loved to sit around and talk to them. He said, we cannot lead the oldest generation out because that's where your knowledge and information is. And he said, why would you cut off the older generation? No other people do that but us. Why would you cut the older generation off who have went through what you're going through? If we tell our children, boy, girl, I've been through all that. I know where you're coming from. Then, well, brother, we got to cover our girls. We need to cover them up to keep them being so attractive to the world. But you're not doing what Muhammad said. That's why I say we got to learn this religion. When do you cover our girls? Mm-hmm. All this plan is in the hand of this image. Because in this society, take your clothes off.
Right.
Since the image had his clothes off, now you got to take yours off. The image had naked on the cross, so take yours off too. But what Prophet Muhammad told us, let me give you an example. Children like to play. Right? Children, little girl, little boy, they like to play.
Right.
They don't have the sense of sex and things like that unless they get it from the TV, your telephone, or the internet, which we're supposed to keep them away from. We're supposed to guard them from that. Okay. Now, here's my example. We're talking about pushing children away. We're talking about how to get them back. Aisha, sister came to visit her. And they was talking, and I guess Prophet Muhammad heard the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So when she bidded her sister greeting, going back home, Prophet Muhammad called Aisha and told her to come here. He said, go tell your sister that to put on hijab to cover. Why?
Mm-hmm.
When she came to Aisha, evidently the conversation must have been that she was coming on her minutes and what she should do.
Right.
Now, Tamazi, when that time come in, that's when we tell our girls to cover.
Right, puberty.
But we do it the opposite. Yeah, we do it the opposite. We put them in all that stuff at 2, 3, 4, 5 years old. That's not the religion. You let them play. Like my daughter, during Ramadan, I told her. When she was 14, 15, Ramadan, we sitting at the table, my two young daughters, and I was telling them about sex, all that. I talked to them. I taught my children. And the moment that we got to talking, she said, my stomach hurt. I said, well, go to the bathroom, come on back. She came on a cycle. I said, come here. Sit down. She said, I know you've been telling us about it. I said, now, listen to me. I said, you're entering into womanhood now. You're not a child no more. You're in it through young adult. You can't play around with boys and men and stuff like that no more. And you need to cover now. I gave her what the prophet said do.
Mm.
And right now she didn't have no children until she got 25 years old, her first child. That's what we got to do. It might seem strange, you know, because we didn't come up like that. And this cross thing throws us off so bad because we was once a part of the cross. Come on now, we lived the cross. We live the prayers, the cross, and everything, the hog, and everything else. But all praise be to Allah, he brought the message to us from the Quran through Prophet Muhammad, and look at us today.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're the older generation. Why we holding on and you ain't? And we tell our children, you got to pay for every mistake you make. You got to pay for it. What we do, we teach our children, if they do something wrong, how to wipe the wrong out. Prophet said, if you do something wrong, do something good today to balance it out.
Mm-hmm.
And these are things that we have to tell our children. But one thing that I see, and I commit, we don't listen to our children.
No, we don't.
And then when you have conversation with them, you can't get frustrated. Don't let them frustrate you. The frustrated part is Shaitan. And Shaitan wants you to get frustrated where you can shout out at them or jump up or hit the table. I don't agree with you on that. You need to listen to what I'm saying. That's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That's wrong. That's not the way that we teach or lead our children. The first taught lesson that we teach our children should be in your example and not your mouth. I used to call their van at my house. I used to pray. My two young daughters, my two sons, they asked me, Dave, what you doing? I said, well, I'm praying to Allah. I'm praying to God. Oh, can we do that with you? I said, yeah. I didn't tell them to wash up.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't tell them to come. I said, yeah, I went on and made the prayer. They started doing that. After, they started questioning me about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then as they questioned about it, when I said, okay, you have to make wudu. This is what you do. Okay, Daddy. Then certain surahs I used to recite. My daughter, Naima, one time I didn't have a child until she was 25. She said, see, Daddy, what's that surah you got through saying? I said, so-and-so. She said, say that again. I want to learn that one. I never forced my children to learn Islam. I always was the example. And I want to give the example to our children and to society. I want to be the same example that Prophet Muhammad was to the world. You can't do it your way. If it was so, Allah would have put it in the Quran. Okay, look what Muhammad doing. You don't have to do it. Do it your way. It ain't like that. Allah said that Prophet Muhammad is the best example for mankind and womankind. He's the best example. He didn't say Abu Bakr, Ali, none of them. Unless they are following exactly what Prophet Muhammad left. So we have to be examples of what we're talking about. So don't force your children. And have an interaction, have a conversation with them. Like my daughter and I, we done had a little spat. I haven't talked with her about a year and a half. But you know what I'm doing? See, I know she loved me. But I'm using wisdom. And the wisdom I'm using, I'm trying to use the wisdom to a degree where it'll pull her all the way back over here by Allah and his message. That's all I'm doing. You know, sometimes like I'm like Muhammad was so wise. He said when you have a little spat with your spouse or your children, he said when they come to you breathing hard, he said make them hold that fire. Otherwise, then I want to talk to you. I ain't got time to talk right now. And they go back. Then I need to talk to you. I ain't got time to talk right now. Make them hold that fire. And then when you do have a conversation, and start talking with them and guide them into the conversation they want to have with you, you'll hear them say this. a relief.
What a big relief.
What a relief. You know, so we see, look, we 70, 80, 90 years old. We wise. We wise. But you can't be no wiser than Prophet Muhammad.
That's right.
You have to follow his example to be wise. That's why me and Sister Diane were talking today, and I was telling her that, look at Imam Muhammad. Look what he was and what he was doing when he was a little child. He used to be out there in the grass, laying out in the grass, pulling up grass and looking at his ass running through the grass.
Yeah.
And they used to watch him. Now, the other children didn't do that. But let me jump. So in a lecture, he told us what? He said, my Imam is the Imam worthy Muhammad. What was he saying? He was saying that I'm so comfortable with the way that Allah led me to what I have today that I don't depend on nobody but Allah and Imam worthy Muhammad.
That's right.
See, he became comfortable with his Lord and what Prophet Muhammad gave. And Allah, he always say, Allah is teaching me. Allah is showing me. I'm so comfortable with Allah is showing me that my Imam is the Imam worthy Muhammad. He talking about himself. But he couldn't have got to that type of, he couldn't have got that strong-minded and will to say that it was won by Allah.
That's right.
And then he killed him. He never led his children the way we were led Nation Islam. He never forced them. But look at them today.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Layla. Look at his son. See what I'm saying?
Yes,
they preach us the religion when you don't force it on them. And we have forced this religion on our children. That's why they're running. That's why they dye in their hair. I saw them come to the Magic on Friday. I said, look at that. Dying hair, blonde hair. Our young men, we young men, we have nice haircuts. Clean shave, nice clothes on. Now, I should have come with all kind of clothes on, with designs on it, and I still, for the women's dress, for the men's dress, is nothing being said. Imam Muhammad said we should never come to Juma or to the masjid with any images of writing on our clothes.
It's true.
But we're doing it. Oh, bro, we don't want to run them away. You're running them away because you're letting them do what the hell they want to do and not what a lot of this message they do.
That's right.
Children will love Allah, and they will love Prophet Muhammad, and they will do what Allah and Prophet Muhammad say do if you give it to them right.
Mm-hmm.
But what you're doing, you don't got weak that you can't even tell them nothing now. Oh, I don't want to hurt their feelings. You let hurt their feelings for them to be dead?
That's right. That's
see, I'm grandparents, our mom and daddy pay that crap. Our mom and daddy told us something, and they meant what they said. And, my mom used to say, I don't care about your feeling, boy. She knew what we was going to go through, so she could, she cared about our feelings, but she had to tell us that way to get us to think about things.
Yeah.
It wasn't that they didn't love us. They loved us, but they gave it to us in a way that was so strong that it make you, when you left the house, went on the street, going with your friends, I used to think about something my mama said all doggone day long. And then when things started happening, I said, nah, I know my mama's saying that. And my friend would get in trouble, I run home. But anyway, I don't want to take too much time. Dave was saying today, especially about our children, I feel it coming to say what I said tonight.
Right.
We got to be more wise. We got to become more knowledgeable of the Quran and the tradition of Muhammad the Prophet. Through the tafsir of Imam Wadi Muhammad. We cannot leave him out. And for God's sake, Allah's sake, do not let the society bury Imam Wadi Muhammad. I come to you in peace. I want to leave you in peace. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam. Well, you was getting good. You were already good, and then you were getting better, and then you cut it off.
Well, I did that to deserve to come back. You know, like you said, let somebody come in, and we got another, I'll be back, inshallah.
Inshallah. Okay, that's a good reason.
Yes, I got a second part to that, but I want to give somebody time to come in.
Okay, I got you. And we thank you for what you've shared with us. It is always on time. I love talking with you and learning, and I just do. Yeah, that helps. It's so helpful. So helpful. Talking about me leaving the house, it makes me not want to leave the house thinking about, conversations like that and words that have been said and shared and references to go to and to check it out for yourself. And that's enough to keep you occupied, making that want to leave the house. If you're being for real.
I love being at home. I love being at home, but I know my job is society. But you know what? My wife will tell anybody, if you're looking for Ibrahim, and my grandson get ready to come in, she'll tell you, well, he on his way home. I ain't calling. Say, he on his way home. I don't be out there in dog nighttime. What am I there in dog nighttime for? For what?
Right.
Ain't nothing out there. Trouble. Society
like
is not like it used to be with us coming up.
Yes.
People protected us when we came up. People sit on the porch. They knew us. We knew them. And they guide you if you're getting the sun to come here. And they'll talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
You tell a young say, come here for me. Let me talk to you. Man, you ain't got nothing to tell me. See?
Right.
That's the problem.
That's
the problem.
Yeah, they're very
arrogant.
They're going to be all right because they got some people to care about them and concerned, you know, how they're headed, what they're headed for and how they're going into the direction, you know, and be proof of how we're going to pull them back and all. We got remedies. We have our ways of getting them back and be good examples, one thing. Be good example, like you said, and don't try to push them in the corner and force them to do anything. That's the first thing they say. I don't know why you're going to force this religion on me. There's nothing there.
That's what they say?
Yeah, that's what they say. Don't be forcing it, you know. I don't want it. And they look like the father they
must be. Let me say this here. Yeah, so, Daya, let me say this here.
Right.
We've seen a lot of them through our lifetime have left the community. Might be gone 4, 5, 6 years or so, and you see them drift back, and they look so bewildered when they try to come back.
They really
they
do.
Be so, you can see that they're so wore out, and they're confused.
True.
And even Muhammad told us in Chicago, he said this. He said, leave them alone. He said, Allah got something for them. See, let Allah handle it. But what we do, we get in the way.
Mm.
We block them.
Yeah.
Be kind and let Allah handle them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they look bad trying to come back. I mean, you can, when they speak, it's like the Quran say, they're like a piece of timber, hollow is a piece of timber.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Spirit gone.
Yeah. Yeah, like they just say, they'll come home like the little puppy. They'll come home wagging their tails behind them, you know, with their heads down. Like you said, and looking all weary. And the same with some adults who turn back after hearing the teaching.
Yeah.
They go call themselves going back out there. They come back looking like, oh, my goodness. And then you see them in the street, too, and they try to set themselves up, and they can't do it, you know, but they'll give you the greetings and with their head down, you know.
That's when you need a program set up. You need a program set up that when they come back, you have certain brothers or sisters in the community to go at them. You stand back. You have a program set up. You know, come on, brother, brother, sister, come on. We're going to go eat dinner. I want to come on. I'm going to buy dinner with you. Come on. And you start talking to them.
Mm-hmm.
And you make them feel good about themselves. And let them know that Allah forgives everything. He's often forgiven most merciful.
Most merciful. Yeah.
And that's what they want to hear, that Allah's going to forgive them.
Mm-hmm. They still got
they don't
a chance.
Want to hear about them. Yes. You got a chance. You got your first chance you got when you walk back through that door.
That's right.
Allah led you back through that door. We didn't lead you back through the door. Allah allowed you to live to come back through that door. Now, a lot of them went out there, dead, got called up out there, and they come back.
Right.
I tell people, I say, brother, they built 100-something prisons. Yeah, but I know. I said, no, what I'm going to tell you, your name was on one of them. Huh? Your name was on one of them cells. What you mean? Keep on acting the way you acting. And I bet you that your name is on one of them. See, stuff like that, you get their conscience, you get them thinking.
Shocks them.
Yeah, but it's true. They don't lie, it's true. Your name is on one of them cells if you keep acting and going the way you're going.
Very true. Yes. Anybody else? That was so much needed. And I know we can all look back, you know, in the archives of the Blog Talk Radio show, and we can listen to any of these presentations that we've had on the Blog Talk Radio show. So at any time you want to listen to what you've said or what's been said or be reminded of what's been said, then you can go back into the archives for the message of concern. you know, call and get into your Blog Talk radio show. You should go to the Blog Talk radio show's message of concern. You can take it to your archives. Just direct yourself after that. Yeah. I sure appreciate it. Can't stop appreciating Brother Imean, but we thank Allah much for Brother Imean, for blessing Brother Imean with this Blog Talk radio show, and then he blessing us, sharing the blessings with us to be on this show and to let us use this, you know, as a materials or a mouthpiece for us, which we might not have ever even been had a chance to do this. You know, maybe never even thought about doing it. But Allah blessed us with him. Alhamdulillah. Pray Allah forever bless him to for blessing us like this. Anybody else have anything else to say in reference to what was said already or about the reading of the youth? Wait until we got two more minutes for it. I'm going to go on and say it right now because it all works together. The message of concern, psychological effect that image has on the mind of the world's children and business and all of that ties in together with us, with this program here. And I see in here too where the business comes in, true detergent. And that's a blessing for us, my husband. Sell that as well, and people like it. Yeah, people like it. And they're advertised here in the Muslim Journal this week. True detergent, from a community of consumers to a community of producers. That's alhamdulillah. Mm-hmm. By Sister Layla. No, that's Lydia. Lydia Muhammad. Sister Lydia Muhammad. Okay, I wonder if that's the Sister Lydia Muhammad in Memphis. She was in synagogue. Okay. Well, anyway. So we're not going to forget. Now, while I'm thinking about it, I want to announce, too, that on this coming, is it Thursday? Or Tuesday, I think, in my calendar. Brother Imam Furqan is going to be on. And we're going to talk about the subject that Sister Karan had before when she had asked the question about what do we put on these papers for our, what should I say? Can't even think of Nick, but what, our credentials for our
nationality?
Nationality, yeah, that's the right word. I'm looking for that. For our nationality, because we want to know exactly what to tell our children, you know, because, Negroes and all this stuff, and because we have a tendency a lot of times to say, well, when we were out there in the world, we were Negroes, you know, stuff like that. Stuff like that, you know, we have to know the difference. Really have to know the difference. So Ron brought that up that time. What do we tell our children then that we should be called? And what's our nationality? And it was a very, I mentioned it was an interesting, would be an interesting conversation. And we needed to talk more about that. So we asked, we bounced it around amongst ourselves, but then I decided to maybe see if we could get someone else from the outside and not on our blog, radio show much, to come in and like an imam or others who may be more knowledgeable, you know, of what to tell our children. And I did ask Imam Farrakhan, and he said yes, that he would come. We set a date for Tuesday. When was that? Yeah. Yeah, no, there it is. Wednesday. Okay, Wednesday. Wednesday the 17th. Sunday Mail Faircon would be on. And he'll expound on that. Yeah, because today is the 14th. Okay, yeah. It's this coming Wednesday. Yeah. Talk to us about, okay, I see there's, okay, I just looked up. We'll bring you in. It's either Sister Karan or Brother Suja. What phone they're using today? Who's on? Let me get bring you in here. Okay. Come on. Come on. Okay. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah. Bismillah and Rahman and Rahim. I see every time you call, you say Negro, Sister Daya, you start laughing. But what they, I said, check out your birth certificate. What does it say? Your birth certificate even said color or Negro. And like I said, maybe I did say it wrong. Maybe I said that's what we was called at that time, and we accepted because we didn't even know no better.
I wasn't talking about you. I wasn't pointing.
I know you wasn't talking about me, but I was just saying, clarifying things up. That's all about that. I'll just clear and find that up. That's the way, and so that's why I said when I was a Negro, because that's all I knew, that I was a Negro back there during that time. I didn't know, but then I found out Negro was, the word Negro is just black, that in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
So they was always calling us black. But this is what I wanted to say. That's what I wanted to clear up, and also I just want to speak on. Said it before, but it's on my mind, been on my mind today, speaking on about our children. And one mistake we made, and I think the Caucasian, they had made it too, is that during that time, we had, you know, we have our children that were smart, and then we had our children that wasn't academic inclined. And so what they did...
Oh, play that music.
No, that's the phone. That's my phone. I'm going to turn it off. I'm on the phone. Call me back.
No, wait, man.
So anyway, that the ones that was in academic inclined, and so what we did, we said our street children are children that was kind of thuggish, and what they did is the Caucasian, that's who they was attacking all the time. And then they found out that when the kids became, some of them became doctors and lawyers, although their family lived in huts and slept on the floor and all that, they still wonder how did they slip through the crack. They found out that they was attacking the wrong children. They already got them. So they start coming out to our smart children. So we should make the same mistake. We should start either catering. We should cater to our children that are A students, that are doing smart, that are doing good. I said because those are the soldiers that we need, and teach them how to do self and teach them self defense. Teach them how to protect themselves because you never know when they're gonna get picked up and be thrown in jail, even a day. I never forget, this lady left her son. He got picked up when he was 14 years old, and the police told her to come get her child, but, you know, she wanted to teach him a lesson. And I'm going to tell you, the boy now, he can't even, he have to, I don't even want to tell you what happened. You already know.
Wow.
Because she left him up in there because she was calling herself teaching him a lesson.
Mm-mm.
But I just want to say we need to start catering to our children that make A's and B's, and the ones that's out there, when they see that you're doing something, believe me, they're gonna catch on. They're gonna come. The main thing is they might be so smart that they don't see nothing. And some people have to see. Some of our children have to see. They have to get those motor skills out to start getting their brains working. But if they don't see nothing, And then like one time Shuja said, why go to school? We not sending our children to school to get a job. We need to start teaching them to do for self. That's what I told my grandson. I said, you know, we got land out there. You can go ahead on, because he going for, you know, learning how to plant, you know, the garden and all that kind of stuff, you know, landscaping, not landscaping, but dealing with plants. I said, we got land out there. I said, you could start you a garden out there. You could do, you know, do out there, you know.
Is that called botany?
It goes all kinds of
vegetables.
Huh?
Is that the, what they call botany, learning about botany, how to cultivate and keep plant.
Yeah, how to do that. And then they show them how to graft things together, you know, all that kind of stuff like that. Yeah, anything dealing with plants, he could plant, you know, beans and tomatoes and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Agriculture.
Yes, sir.
Call what?
Agriculture.
And then they have that BOI, too, in front of that, too, Daya, because he said something about that, too. You know, he goes all deep into it, all, you know, all that stuff, knowing about how to do all of it.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
So I told him, I said, you could do so. And he said, oh, yeah. See, sometimes they don't even know about that. But that's the main thing, because, see, if we don't teach our children self-defense and how to know the main thing, too, survival. We need to teach them how to survive. None of this food is out here any good. When our children, I never forget, our children don't even know how to even do a garden. I know some of mine do, you know, but some of them don't. But we need to start teaching our children that. We need to start catering to those that, it's okay for those that, you know, that been out there and doing that, but we got children out here that then go out there and do that. And you know what happened? This is what happened. We're so busy trying to get them together until we neglect the ones that A student, that student that's good, doing good, and we lose them too. So we're losing out on both ends. Alhamdulillah. That's just what I would say, that we need to start catering to our children that's smart and doing good, because that's what we need, because they're doing that technology, and teach them self-defense and how to survive. Why give them all that knowledge and then they can't even survive? Well, let me tell you about, I think I told you about this story that I saw on the, one time I saw on TV, and the guy said, and what happened was that they was in the plane, these wealthy people was in the plane. They took the cooks and the maids with them in the plane, and then the plane crashed in a forest. And you guess who was the captain, the leader at that time? The cook and the maids and the servants.
Oh boy.
Because they didn't know how to survive out there. Alhamdulillah.
I hear you.
And I'll say, why didn't give them all that knowledge? They can't do nothing with it. All somebody do, a storm could come by and blow them down, because they don't know how to defend themselves and don't know how to survive. Alhamdulillah. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salamu wa rahmatullah.
Very well taken. One thing I would like to want to say about that particular word, catering. I guess that's a, what Imam used to say, that's a ghost of the past for me. So when you mention catering, first thing I think about is us catering to the Caucasian people, you know, as for slaves or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And I don't take that too long, too well like that, when you say you've got to start catering to them. We've got to start showing them showing them the gratitude, how grateful you are and how proud you are of them for their expertise or for their willingness to learn and to do well, you know. And I know we do try and give special attention to those children who are a little bit slower than the others, because we figure that the ones that are not as slow as the other, that they, you know their way and they can direct themselves in the right directions, because they're already going in the right directions. But we can't. I don't think that word catering is a good word to let them hear you you know, for you to say to them, because it'll put a different little twist on it to me. You know, they think they kings and queens, you know, or they catering to me. I'm a king, I'm a queen because I'm smart. I'm, you know, blood, you know, that just, every, people do it now. People say it, and to each his own. I'm just saying, we're just sharing of what each other, you know, not each other.
Help. You should help them or put them out front more.
Yeah.
You know, that's the main thing. Help them and put them out front.
Yeah, let
them
be good.
One that do wrong, all that, when you got a smart person there that you could put out front and help them more, show them the way more. Those that they're going to catch on, believe me. They smart enough to do that. Believe me, they smart enough to catch, they'll catch on.
Yeah.
A lot of times they just get rebellious because they don't see.
That's true.
Yeah, I think that they help and do more, alhamdulillah.
Right.
Alhamdulillah. Let me say something, Sadaya, to what my sister was saying.
Yes, sir.
I like that inspired me, both of y'all talking. I want to go back a little bit. You know, Imam Muhammad taught us about etymology, the root word, the root of words. But even each word or root of a word, that's a program.
Mm-hmm.
And that Arabic give you that too. But I want to say it this way. When we was coming up, I'm talking about us now, but we came up, 4, 5, 6, 7 brothers and sisters in the house. Our mothers and our fathers. My mother made sure that all the boys knew how to sew, how to iron their pants, how to wash their clothes. All my boys shine your shoes. Back then we kept our shoes shine. She gave us all necessary things to have when we got out on our own. Now, our daddies, he about to work on the car. He said, come here, boy. I said, yes, sir, daddy. Give me a half inch. I said, huh? Give me a half inch wrench. He looked down. He said, it's rolled on it. I looked down. Oh, okay. This is where you're, yeah, that's all. Give me that. I said, daddy, what you doing? He said, I'm tearing this motor down. So I got interested. Not that I'm going to be a mechanic, but I got interested. So he showed me how to do it. Showed me how to drop a transmission. My dad then took a transmission and a motor out and 8 hours, put back together and back in the car. That inspired me. I want to do that. You know,
right.
But the things that they gave us, and then when you would do something in the house, like you did your chores and all that, you would get a reward. Mama knew when she was making that cake that everybody was going to fall in line because they want to eat their cake after dinner. All your chores was done. So me and my brothers there, we worked at A&P. This is 57. Carried people groceries to the cars, and we made good money. And I'm in the snow 5 feet deep, but we stayed out there. When we got home, dumped all the money in the bed, and Mama counted it. She said, okay, y'all ain't going back to work tomorrow. Y'all can go to the show. I'm going to give y'all 35 cents a piece, because they offered a nickel getting the show. 35 cents, that's a lot of money. So we said, okay, Mama, what we did, when she gave us 35 cents, we didn't go to the show. We went back to work. And we said, we'll go to the show next week. But we're going to, around the holiday, we're going to get this money. You know, so it's just the incentive, and we got that from my mothers and fathers, and then people on the block. You want to cut my grass for me? Yes, sir. Well, cut my grass, I'm going to give you $5. Huh? $5? Man, that was a lot of money. But those are the things that we jumped at, and our people in our community, they helped us. They helped you. You know, they talked to you about going to school. It taught you about learning, and the ones that couldn't learn good in the household, whoever was the smartest, my mama, like my older sister, she'd say, I want you to go there and show him how to count, do the math with him. Okay, Mama, I want you to go over here and do something with this one here. She knew her children, and she knew where each one of her children was lacking at or what they were lacking in. So the ones that were smart in the air, she put them with them. You know, I just want to put that right there, give us some kind of, like the sister's hand. We prepared our children. I prepared my children. Like I was saying about how I taught them how to pray. And my baby daughter, Amira, she's 26 now. When she was 9, she would stop my son them. I let them call their dad. I let them lead each prayer. They had a dad to call. They had a prayer to lead. And she would say, hold it. That's wrong. Huh? That's wrong. Go like this here. And she was 9 years old. I said, okay, this is what we're going to do after we make prayer. I made everybody line back up. I said, Amira, you know, Dad, I said, go there and lead the prayer. And she led it like I led it. And they looked at her. So, and then this wasn't forced on her. This was done by my example, praying all the time. They see me praying. They see me fast during the month of Ramadan. So when they start a fast during the month of Ramadan with me, I said, then we want to do it too. We can do it. I said, okay, now. We start our fasting, right? Got a good breakfast, read the Quran that morning. And around about, you can tell about 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, you see them leaning to the side. I said, go in the kitchen. Go in the kitchen. Takes two peanut butter sandwiches. Cut it in half. Each one of y'all get a piece and back a half a glass of water. Okay, then what we going to do? I said, now keep your fast. Keep your fast.
Yeah.
And that's what Imam Muhammad told her. Imam Muhammad said, he said, look, some of y'all take medicine during the month of Ramadan. He said, take your medicine and still keep your fast. So the fast is more spiritual than the mental thing. You don't want to kill yourself.
Right.
Okay, I'm done. That's all
right. Right. Yeah, well, that's right. So you just got to do it right. Because do what's right. I remember something similar to that story about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was told that some of the servants were working, and one of them fell out or fainted or something during the time of Ramadan, and the Prophet wanted to know what was wrong with him. Why would they say, well, he was out in the sun. He said, he's fasting? He said, yes, he's fasting. Has he broken? No, he haven't broken his fast. Well, he's probably hungry. Let him get a drink of water or something, you know, because it's not good for him to just fast and get sick like that, you know, fall out of faint.
Uh-huh.
And that's a lot. Right. Intend to make anything hard for us. You know, you don't intend to make it hard for us to fast. So he had to stop and break his fast, do it a little bit, and then, like you just said, and go back to the fast if it's not time for
right.
it to be over.
As since that year, and every year after that, now this is my children, like, 13, 14. Every year after that, they beat me fasting. Daddy, I'm not coming in tomorrow. Oh, you know, I picked it up on my phone. You know, I said, well, remember one thing now, you got to sight the moon first. Okay, can we go down to the parking lot around there and look over to the rest of the weekend? I said, yeah, we'll go down there. I mean, they got into it. And once they could do it and then break it, I said, okay, now look. Whoever complete their fast at the end got $50. Oh, boy, you couldn't tell them nothing. But, Daddy, you remember going to give us all our money because we going through this. Then they would go to school, fast in the school, then break their fast in the school. When they would write essays, I would get the Muslim Journal and say, this article you want to write right here. And the teacher say, where did you get that information from? And they say, my daddy. Oh, wow. See, things like that. You know, but I would always get them a senator to come Ramadan. You go to $50, plus I'm going to give you a gift afterwards. Oh, I'm getting my fast. I'm making. I don't care what y'all do. You know, and then, see, they challenge each other. They challenge
yes.
each other.
That's good. That's good.
Yes.
Yeah. Does anybody else have anything else to say about current events, about our children? And about, because yeah, we're really going to have to get down with our children though, because every time I think about it, it makes me feel kind of bad, because I feel like I'm not doing all I can do and what I should do to help get places for them to be taught. You know what I'm saying? And I know that it can be done. I know that it can be done. It doesn't take much. I remember when we started Sister Claire Muhammad School, it had about, three or four students, you know, before.
Yes.
Yes. You know, I mean, you don't have to have a lot of children in the school, even if you have one for each age, one for each class, you know, each grade or whatever, each level, still, you know, just get it, and right teachers teaching them.
Yeah, you know, so just like each one of us, we had experience because we have children. I got 33 grandchildren, I think I got 34, 35 great grand.
Good grief.
And you can't say that it don't hurt you when you know they're not following in your path or they're not doing the right thing with their life. And a lot of us, like, kind of write them all. But see, when you do that, you ain't human.
Right.
You know, it hurts. We keep it to ourselves, but it hurts. I don't want to see my sons and daughters on my desk.
Right.
I want them to submit to Allah and follow his messenger. So that bothers me.
Sure.
You know? And my son said, Daddy, you didn't go to school. And we all done went to school, you know, graduated and got degrees. Yeah. But every time I want to know something about the Quran or Hadith, when I call you, I be saying, when I get off the phone, I be saying, wow, how do you know that? And I haven't been to school. I tell them, no, I ain't been to school. The only school I've been to, I got my PhD when I went to Mecca. And when I said I'm going to follow, I said when I'm going to follow Allah and his messenger through the top of me and Wadi Muhammad, that's exactly what I meant. And Allah blessed me to learn.
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah. Yeah, it's like I say, you don't have to be go to college to be rich.
You know, Warren Buffett and them, you know they ain't been to school?
Who?
All them guys are rich. They billionaires.
Oh, John Buffett, okay. Wow.
Yeah, Warren Buffett and the other guy that own, Google and all that, them guys didn't go to school.
Mm.
They don't have degrees. But they're one of the richest ones on the planet. So how did they do that? And that's what we have to lead our children to. Like the sister said, we have to make our children become aware. Like both my son got their own little business in Pennsylvania. They doing good. Lead them to be self. Do for self. You know, not depending. Like I tell my children, don't get crazy. If you see a job out there, it's going to give you $20 an hour, something like the hour, a good benefit. Go and do it, and just set you a time. I'm going to work for 5 years. I'm going to save a certain amount of money, inshallah. I got benefits. I got insurance. See, that supports you. Then you start increasing your own business at the same time. So when you do need that, you got something to stand on.
Right. That's right.
Don't teach them to come all the way. Imam Muhammad said, if we're going to change society, we got to become a part of it too. But we the
right?
best examples when we go into society. Let's just say our example. I work in construction in 77. And I was in Detroit, and the Sunday go down, we pass up like 13, 14 hours, 16 hours. And every time they go on break, Abdullah, yes, sir. You want me to buy your assignment as a water? I said, no, sir. I have water in my cooler, an apple, something like that. I work from 6 o'clock to 6 o'clock. When I got up at 6 o'clock, you still got 3 hours. 2.5, 3 hours before we break fast. I head toward the masjid to break my fast. And they couldn't believe it. But that was exactly how I was sitting at the same time. That's how we have to solely depend on Allah.
Right.
And I was working construction. Yep.
All right, then. Okay, we have a lot of experience going on here. Okay. I wanted to see if I could get this. I should have pulled it up. My printer's not working. If I could have. I just got that paper, but I wanted to write something out of there and be able to read it off. And what was sent to me on my cell phone, too, I wanted to get a copy of that because I can press it to hold it on, but sometimes my telephone messes up so bad until I can't come back to it, and it's so full. But this is really something that I would like for everybody to really have and to listen to, because I got this in the mail. I'm going to just find it afterwards, and then I'm going to send it by text. Everybody, look at the COVID, the Treasonous Act. Yeah, they're finding out a lot of things about this COVID. It's all a big untruth. And they got a whistleblower on it. And they're giving Dr. Fauci a fit, I tell you. They say he should be thrown in jail and throw the key away. How he's getting these people having these injections for these children. And they don't even need them. It's really considered the, not the COVID, but it's considered influenza, like the old one used to be. It's not a COVID. Oh, well, I'll just get it off my cell phone and I'll just text it to everybody, send them the link, rather, and they can pull it up for themselves. They're talking about, they continue to talk about something, a stronger one is coming up now with the COVID. Some parts of the world see a strong one is coming up for the COVID, you know, that you're going to have to go back undercover and all this kind of stuff again and be extra careful, distances, you know, social distances, and keeping your hands washed and keeping your mask on and all this sort of thing. And then others are going back into the mask, into places without the mask. And they're saying that no such thing.
Oh, no. I was talking to my daughter just the other day. She's in Detroit. And, you know, the fourth wave is going to hit Detroit.
That's what they say.
They got a fourth wave coming.
Yeah.
Detroit, you know, Chicago, all up through there. And some of the states down here in the south.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. Yeah, they say it's down this way, too.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the Muslim Journal. This guy's the new one. And Sister Nemat, not Nemat. Oh, yeah, here she is. Amatullah. This is Amatullah. She's in here. She's in especially, it's education in Islamic school systems, especially for children and young adults. Her article is CDC and FDA on heart inflammation after COVID-19 vaccinations. Maybe I'll talk about this on tomorrow with the brothers. It's the part of their, to, I don't know if social media doesn't harm your teen's self-esteem. The social media is taking our children out. They be walking across the street, blame telephones and trying to text and trying to walk at the same time across the street.
That's right.
Yeah, that's what they do when they.
And that day too, Sister Diane, I seen Muslim young Muslim sisters Friday, and we need to speak on that. They got these earphones and you know bowls set and stuff on their ears, walk the street and you know listen to the music on or whatever going on. You can't hear what's going on around you like that.
Right.
That's dangerous.
Somebody's calling you saying, "Look out! Or run! There's a fire! Or run! There's
right.
something!" Won't
right.
be able to hear. Yeah. Been spoke on before several times. They won't take heed. I don't know what's wrong with them. They so smart till they so act so dumb.
Well, our mama used to say, "Boy, you know, the more I teach you, the dumber I get."
That's a good example right there. What you just said. Yeah, that's a good example.
Here we got a job, and the thing is, what's good about it in one sense and sad in the other sense is that I speak about the good part. We got a job, but the thing is, without a job, dealing with this issue with the cross and everything else about our religion, if you don't love it, get out the way. You have to love this religion because Allah has chosen us. It's just like if you get a job before a motor company and you step through the door today, everybody been there 20, 30 years, but the man said, "Come here, I'm going to take you up to the courtroom with me. I'm going to start a job with $300,000 a year." You would praise that man for that. So
yeah.
Allah has chosen us and given us a job way better than that, and we don't even appreciate it. We don't appreciate it. You know, you've been chosen by the Lord of the worlds, and you're going to lay down now? Like the general told me one time, he said, "Look, he say, you got plenty of time to sleep when you're 6 feet. Right now, he say rest while you're working.
True statement. Yes, true statement. Oh, knocked everything down. Oh, vaccine or not to vaccinate. Oh, it's one of the sisters to be in my health and wellness program. And she went out on her own. She said, to vaccinate or not to vaccinate. Kadira Yamini. You know Sister Kadira Yamini, Brother Imam, and Brother Yamini, Hakim.
Okay.
Yeah, she's got a write-up in the paper now, is there? Can I just read through it real quick? This is the newest, this is the latest now. Huh?
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. It says to vaccinate or not to vaccinate the Delta, D-E-L-T-A. That's supposed to be that strong one that's coming up now. It says, and that is a question going through the minds of many Americans in this post-pandemic era as they're being encouraged by doctors, scientists, the media, and an overzealous American public to believe that not vaccinating will make them more susceptible to getting COVID and infecting others. Not true. Thus, opening the door for the possibility of another pandemic. Yet, there are still a vast number of Americans, particularly African Americans and American Muslims, who have doubts regarding the effectiveness and safety of the vaccine and the intentionality behind the push to see that 100% of Americans are compliant in getting it. Though there are dozens of conspiracy theories, stories running rampant that question the contents of the vaccine and its potential effect on the human body system, this article is not an argument for or against those theories. The main concern here is to bring forth whether getting the vaccine lines up with what Allah tells us in the Quran and how the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam lived his life. What comes to mind first is Surah 30, Ayat 30, in which Allah warns humanity not to alter the pattern on which he has made his creation. Let me underline that. Yes, she used to be in my health and wellness. She's my secretary, as a matter of fact. Okay, therefore, the contents of the vaccine must be studied and evaluated to discern whether it contains natural elements or synthetic ones based on a natural pattern compatible with the human form, or whether there are any components of the vaccine that are questionable in lining up with our innate biology. Our innate biology means what our system is made of inside. Okay. However, this matter will not be addressed in this article. Okay. But I encourage the scientists and doctors amongst us to evaluate the efficacy. Okay. That means evidence. Okay. And safety of the vaccine based on this basic perspective. What I want to focus on, though, is this writing is the pending action of the American government to make this vaccine mandatory, which would deny people the ability to keep their jobs, have their children in school, travel, go into stores, or attend sporting or entertainment events without proof of vaccination. In this impending mandate, compatible with what is stated in Quran and the Sunnah of Prophet, and is it even compatible with our religious rights as stated in the U.S. Constitution? In Quran, Surah 2, Ayat 256, Allah states there is no compulsion in the deen, or in religion, or in deen. Okay, though some translators use the word religion rather than deen. Okay. That does not give the full scope of what this ayat is saying, the words, because she knows Arabic, okay, because deen, as opposed to religion, means way of life. So not only should we not feel compelled by anyone else to do religious acts, but we should also not be compelled by any outside force to perform any acts that are against our internal will to do what we believe to be right for our spiritual, mental, and physical well-being. I'm with you on that. It is said that the Prophet ﷺ, at least on one occasion, refused medication. He was very ill when Aisha, how do you say that, R-A, Brother Imam? Brother Imam.
Yes, ma'am.
How do you be pronounced? I think I'm pronouncing it wrong. Raleigh, something like that. R-A, when you speak on someone.
Oh, Radio Law?
Radio.
Like somebody.
Like
you're talking to mentioning a companion or something.
Yes, okay. Radio Law, okay. And one of the Sahaba thought to pour medicine into his mouth. But
it was in there. It was fleshy. And I can say it, feminine.
What's the matter? Say something.
When you made mention about the RA was in a, it was in a reading of a reflection of Imam Muhammad. She said, "Oh, that's what that means." That's what she was saying to me.
Yeah,
she read it on the phone, reflection of Imam Muhammad. It had that RA in that, and she wanted to know what it meant. So she said, "Oh, that's what that means," like that.
Okay. Yeah, because I've been trying to say it, but I don't think I've been saying it right. And that's why I think I try to get a better pronunciation of how to say it right. Okay, put medicine into his mouth, but he forcefully shook his head, not allowing them to continue. When he was better, he gave them an explanation saying that he had put his full trust in Allah, so that if Allah felt the hereafter was better for him at that time, then he was ready to surrender. He did not want Allah to find fault with him in trying to prolong his life if it was his will for his transition back to him. Alhamdulillah. I'm telling you, that's why I know. I know I'm on the right there. Okay, the point is not that there is something wrong with medication. Medication, natural or even pharmaceutical, can have its place in the healing of people. But at certain times, believers may be in a state of mind that they simply are ready to surrender themselves to whatever Allah's decree is regarding their illness. If that is the case, then they should not be frowned upon by others who may not share that same degree of faith or conviction. Also, there are believers who prefer to trust in the natural immune system that Allah has placed in the body to fight diseases. They believe that in the following, a daily regimen that includes healthy diet and exercise, a good night's sleep, wholesome interactions with family and friends, and a loving, dutiful relationship with Allah, they will be able to maintain a strong immune system, which will enable them to fight off any debilitating disease. Dis-ease. She's got to say, got to spell D-I-S hyphen and then E-A-S-E. Dis-ease instead of disease. Okay. Inshallah. Yet there are even some masjids which are silently supporting the mandate by strongly recommending that all their members become vaccinated, which is evoking an attitude of disapproval upon those who don't. But should believers who opt to trust living a life aligned with their natural fitra as a natural defense against COVID be shunned? No. And moreover, should believers who put their full trust in Allah and the healing mercy of Quran and the example of his prophet be looked down upon? No. No believer should sit in judgment of another believer, particularly when they are living their lives according to their best understanding of deen. Lastly, we must remember that the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution gives us the right to freedom of religious expression. So for those who believe they have no resort except to get the vaccination, to comply with societal mandates or a masjid advisory, then know without a doubt that you have Quran, Sunnah, and the Constitution of the U.S. to back up your decision to maintain autonomy over what goes into your body and that of your family. Wow. That's my sister. Yes, Layla Kadira Yamini is a certified health coach and author living in Marietta, Georgia. Okay, contact info. Okay, oh, that's where she moved to. All right. Yeah, she was married to Brother Hakeem Yamini, the one who helped me get my 501c3, the one who helped me get all my papers and things I needed from downtown at the place where I had the reentry program. When I came to Atlanta, I had that business, but I had not really activated it in Tennessee. I just went through the documentation and getting it legalized and being on the Secretary of State and 501c3, getting it all together. That. Any legal papers and things that I had to get, he was right there to help me. And I would have to pay, of course, but he was so helpful to me. And she was, too. You know, she used to do a lot of typing. And she was in the Health and Wellness Committee with me. Praise be to Allah. She went out on her own to be a health coach. Praise be to Allah. She's doing good. She's doing good. See, we can do it. Allah would bless us to do it. And if we have that faith in Allah that we need, I remember the older people used to say, if you just had faith in the size of a mustard seed, you know what I'm saying? Now, mustard seed, I still believe in that. And mustard seed, education and faith and college faith and education and all that stuff. It counts for us now, but I still have that that good feeling.
I'm listening.
Did you put your finger on the? Yeah, you're still in there. Okay, yeah. Waleg Maslam. Waleg Maslam.
You hear me, our sister Daya?
Yes, ma'am. Waleg
Maslam. Okay. Waleg Maslam. Alhamdulillah. What I want to say is that have you noticed that, because I was just thinking, I said, oh, it feels like back there in the days when I was a young child, just all I hear is black and white. When you go to the clinic, I know a majority, I don't know, you know, those that got the shot, I know some people that got the shot, and I said, well, who was that giving the shot? They said a Caucasian was giving the shot. You never hear of, I mean, I'm just saying, you know, just they were just giving the shot. But and then they always talk about the African American now and about the shot. But I never hear them talk about the Mexicans. They live here, and some of them are Americans. I never hear them talk about the immigrant Muslims, and they are here, and some of them are Americans. It never talks about them. It's like everything is so quiet now.
And I
will let you know that Heron is on the scene now. That Heron is out there now. And they brought them the people over here. They brought the Heron along with them. So it's on the scene now. That's what I was thinking. I said, wow, I said, it's just the black and white now, just like it was back in the days. But we have a lot of immigrants over here too, and they never speak of them.
They bring it.
They take a shot.
You actually think they're bringing heroin with them?
Oh, Daya. They distributed. They are one of the number ones that distributed. Heroin. That's where they get the heroin from. And the opium.
That's where they get it from.
And then they found out they got minerals there that they just discovered. They've probably been there all the time that America won't, and they said that they should share. That's what they say. They should share.
my goodness, they should share. And they're talking about the people just came over from Afghan.
Yeah. That's, I mean, they I told you what Baya said when the Taliban came over there and you know, it took over that little small town and then they start talking about, the Taliban was talking about what they're gonna do with the drugs and they're gonna do this and do that, and then Baya got up there and said, we're gonna leave that to our drug lord, y'all, our neighbor, your neighbor drug lord, our neighbor drug lords over there, their neighbors, that's who they'll leave that job to them.
Wow.
He admitted it. That isn't supposed to come out like that. But I was just wondering, everything is so quiet now. All they talk about is us.
Quiet is before the storm. You know, you can look for anything to go on now and happen now, since they're quiet now about it and everything. You know, telling what's going to be a big storm coming up next, and then you see, oh, that's what they were holding off for, getting ready for the storm.
Yeah, because that's all they talk about. Yes, And why are they so insistent that they ain't insisting that they take the shot? Why are they so insistent that we take the shot, and then it's only Caucasians the one that giving the shot out?
You haven't seen any people of color giving the shots out, nobody but just the Caucasians, really?
I haven't heard of any. If it is, it probably just one. But I haven't heard of any. I mean, if you heard of any, then just let me know.
Mm-mm. No, then I have not paid attention to who was giving the shots. I'm just not with the shots, period. I care who's giving it. Wow.
I just said one question. Alhamdulillah.
Okay. Yeah, Quran. Thanks. I'll pay attention to that. I guess I've been sleeping a little bit on that one. I've been paying attention to who was giving them, because I was just against them, period. I don't care who was giving them. Okay. And the drugs and the heroin. Now I'm going to pay more attention to that. Oh, boy. I'm about to go into my thing, so I'm getting too old for this. But I got to pay attention. I'll never sleep. Reading all night long. Trying to catch up on this stuff here. Wow. Does anybody else have anything to say in reference to what has been said about the children, about older people, about the epidemic, the pandemic, rather,
I do want to say one thing, Sister Daya.
Okay.
It's related to Shuja and I. First time we went out, and we did, at least I went out with him for the first time in Baton Rouge. We went out and did Dawah.
Yes,
we had
heard.
And I was
like
asleep at the time, so I was upset that I missed it, you know, missed it yesterday. But I mean, the day before yesterday, alhamdulillah. I mean, yesterday, right.
Saturday,
Saturday, right. And we had a good time, and I told him, I said, they got a lot of soldiers out there, and a lot of them checked in.
Okay.
I said, they don't know, so now we have to be consistent. And we're going to be going out there regular now, alhamdulillah. We're going to set out wind, you know, like every other Saturday or something like that.
Right, yes, like they got, y'all gave them their marching orders now. They got to move. They got to get up.
Yeah.
So y'all done called them out. Y'all have to respond. That's good.
They did. You'd be surprised how many Muslim children is out there, too. A lot of them was coming teaching Shuja.
Really? Now, were
yes,
they the Muslims that had come here from overseas?
That stopped in. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Were they the Muslims that came here from overseas? I remember when I was down there to the fair that we had, was that Savior's Day when you had the school in Louisiana, and they had a school next door because they were serving us some food, the school children, and then the teacher was serving us some food. Right there in the neighborhood of
that?
Right there in the neighborhood of the center. Do they had had a school
what,
there?
What year was that? What year was that?
The first time I met you. Now, what year was that? Well, we had the was it the not the was it Ramadan session when we were down there? Or was it Savior's
Day?
Oh
no, you was at you was on Gus Young. And when Shuja and Akbar was out there teaching,
I'm talking about the school. But you said the young people were coming, was teaching the other day, yesterday, Saturday. They were trying to
right.
shoot. And I was saying, were those the children from that school? Were they immigrant children, or were they?
No. These are old. African American children in the neighborhood, you know, they don't come out like that. They don't come out like that. Only time they come into the neighborhood, the immigrant, they come in the neighborhood when they come to collect money and do business. That's the only time. They don't associate with us.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they don't associate with us. And the sisters. They don't if you give them the greetings, they don't give the greetings back. But I said next time I wanted to go to Ramadan. May Allah forgive me, just to let them know, just to tell them off, just to let them know that I would be. I told them, I had just wanted to let them know. I said, now I understand why you sisters don't speak back. I said, I wouldn't speak back too. It's my brother. And my uncle was out there dealing dope and slinging that pork.
Oh, my
and drinking, goodness. And drinking that alcohol. And I was going to tell him, I said, now you need to go tell your brother, your children, that they got stepbrothers and stepsisters just like me, a whole bunch of them. But
right.
The violence came on and stopped it.
Bad girl.
I know. That was Satan said, tell him. That beats me.
That'll
get him something.
That's Hancha Lala. She said, that'll get him something. What'd you say, Hancha?
Satan, you got that wheel.
That's right. That'll get him going.
That's the truth, though. It's the truth. I'll be shamed too. It's the truth.
Is.
You'd be surprised how many babies they got out there, but they do take care of the babies. I don't hear none of them abandon the babies. They get the sisters and they put them in an apartment or something like that. They take them out of the hood, but they do it everything in the book.
Oh, wow.
And you know they think they're doing the right thing.
And then they'd be the first one, and then because I used to go to the masjid, they'd be the first one on the front row for prayer.
Oh yeah, and you know what else
they have the right then
at
your baby. What'd you say, Lala?
They also the brothers that be crying, they be rocking back and forth, be crying during Ramadan.
Oh yeah, crying.
And then, like I said, listen to their YouTube. You never hear them say anything about thou shall not eat pork, alcohol, and do drugs and stuff like that. You won't hear them say that. You won't hear them say it. Thou shall not. You won't hear them say that.
And then if you mention something about, you know, you could stop a lot, you couldn't do that in your country, and they look at you.
I gave one. I went to the store, the liquor store, and I gave one of the brothers. So I asked him. I said, "You a Muslim?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, why do you?" I said, "Assalamu alaikum." And he said, oh, he said, we only got slammed. I said, why do you sell pork and alcohol? And you know you don't supposed to tell. He said, that's for the infidels.
Oh.
And then I gave him a calendar. I said, here, I was going to give you a calendar. He said, no, I can't get that calendar. If I put that calendar on the wall, my mama will be terrified. I said, wow, I ain't never seen nothing like, heard nothing like that. That was what you told me.
You gave a Christian calendar?
No, one, I think I had remove all racial image from worship.
Yeah, okay.
And then I had one on jihad, and he told me that he couldn't, but I gave one to the other brother that was selling, like, jewelry and stuff like that, you know. He accepted it. But the other one, he told me he couldn't accept it because his mama, she'd be terrified. She'd kill him.
Was selling that pork and all that stuff in it?
Yeah, I'm just telling what he said. I said, oh, okay.
Oh, wow. Oh, I tell you.
Alhamdulillah.
Takes all kinds of people to make all kind of people to make the world.
The time to come in the neighborhood is when they want to, when they get ready to collect money.
Yeah. Want to make money on you. And take what you have. Like try to take your masjid and stuff and your center and all that.
Mm-hmm. But I was talking to one of my brothers that was out there, and I was telling him, I said, and he'd be dealing and stuff like that. He don't think I know, but I know he'd be doing it. You know, not my blood brother, but just the brothers in the street. And then I said, don't let, her heroin's on the rise. I said, you shouldn't be dealing heroin to the people. You shouldn't do that. I said, you got to be careful. I said, don't let them do that. But I was telling him so many things. I was talking to him in general about the immigrant Muslims and the store like that. He got so angry. He said, dang, they know that those brothers are not right. They know that because when I speak to him, he said, yeah, something. He was saying, yeah, because he know that they are not right. Whatever they are doing, they are not right. And they are not giving back to the community. They're just robbing the community, and they're not giving back. And every time Shuja and I come into the community, every time we go over there and be working on the lot, the police always come by to check us out.
Ain't that something? But they're probably cutting their hustle.
They just come by, ride through the neighborhood, and we just wave to them. Sometimes the brothers come, we'll wave.
Right.
But they'll just come through them just to check us out to see what's going on, yeah.
But you'd be surprised how many of them end with that. I was looking at this thing on the, and then didn't give me 60 seconds, got 2 minutes. But on the TV today from the Philadelphia shooting of 6 policemen, and... Yeah, 6 policemen, and they had one person, seemed like was the one who was doing all the shooting. And he was on the first floor, and the police was stuck up there on the second floor, and he had to come down in order to pass them to get out the door, but he wasn't letting nobody in that door and nobody out, whoever it was that was had the gun. I was thinking about that. How, and they said it was over what did they call it?
Transaction.
Huh? What'd you say, Lala?
Transaction, a drug sale.
But drug, let me tell you one thing. What our children is missing, they out
know
there.
Has with drugs.
Let me tell you one thing. Go ahead.
No, I said they did say that on the TV that it was a drug scandal. Something about drugs that caused those 6 policemen to get shot and that gunman to be waiting for him on the first floor when he tried to come up out of there because he didn't stop shooting. He's still there waiting for him. They haven't captured him yet.
But see, that's one thing our children don't know. That's why even our children that don't go on the street, I should teach my children street knowledge and also, you know, Islam. You know, but it's so I teach them the street knowledge so they could be aware. They'll know what not to do, where not to go, and how to treat people when they're out there. What these guys do, they doing that stuff, but they always supposed to have a way out. They know this is part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the game, you're going to get caught, you're going to get killed, you're going to go to jail, going to get one of those things is going to happen because that's part of
right.
the game. Even when you go there and take
money
from them. Even when you, cause I was telling somebody, I said, you know, when you go to a drug house and get drugs, you know, something might happen. I mean, this comes along with it. You might get busted along with them. You could get shot
mm-hmm.
along with them. You could get robbed. All that comes along with it. They know this, and they don't have a way out. They know the police going to come in through one day. You should always have a way out.
Yeah.
And they don't even have a way out. So.
And that's why
I don't even
stay out of it, period. We don't have to worry about a way out.
Yeah, I know that. I know that. But even when you drive, when I used to drive trucks, I used to never go to pilot. The only time I'd go, I'd get the gas, but I get the gas with nobody ain't there and come out because it only have one way out. You're always supposed to have a way out. No matter where you go, you always look around and secure yourself. Be aware of your surroundings. And that is
Absolutely.
What they are not doing. Why get into mm-hmm. a game if you don't know nothing about it?
Let's
crazy.
Get off. We got to go. We got to go now.
Alhamdulillah.
That's
right.
All these things we're going to pick up again. We're not going to. It's like a regular business meeting when you go to it and you have unfinished business that you talk about in this particular meeting, then you table it for the next meeting. So that means you pick it up
mm-hmm.
like tomorrow night we pick
right.
it up. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Sure. Ma'am, Furkan is going to be on Wednesday night with the other topic that you mentioned, Sister Karan, about what is the name that we would use or call ourselves, what we tell our children. If somebody asks them what their nationality is, you know, or something like that.
Alaykum
as-salam.
Yeah, on that note, you remember Imam Muhammad said when the Pakistani came to him about us using the name Bilal, and
uh-huh.
he said the reason he lacks it, he eased off of it because we wouldn't support it. So that's
mm-hmm.
the name we should go back to.
I agree.
Okay.
I agree.
Yes.
Oh, alhamdulillah.
That's okay. He gave us that name. We should go with that name. He said, but y'all
right.
didn't support me. A lot of things he lacks because the community wasn't supporting him in it.
Oh,
and
wow.
And they asked him, why you say Bilal? He gave them
that's
the history of Bilal and why he
I
chose
got that
the
on
name for us.
Bilal.
So that's the reason why we didn't use Bilal?
Right.
Because nobody
could
support Imam? Oh, wow. Okay, that's something to be continued. Okay, so Brother Imam Furkan, come on Wednesday. We put that in there, too.
Mm-hmm.
We have a discussion. Okay, so we got to go. It's 3 minutes after 9. We're going to be off here at 9 o'clock. And thank everybody for coming on. And Brother Imam, would you close for us, please? Thank everybody for coming. Be safe.
I see Brother Imam often say they're rejected. With the name of Allah, the Mercy, Benefactor, the Mercy, Redeemer. Our Lord, let not a heart deviate from that which you have brought us to. I seek protection from Allah, and I do repent to him. Amen.
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 Okay, love you all. Please be safe. And until
you do
tomorrow. As-salamu
alaykum. Wa alaykum as-salamu alaykum.
Alhamdulillah.